This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. The Commissioner of Dirt is in the building getting ready to take your yard, lawn, and garden question. A little traffic note as we begin. We've got some issues out in the Glide area following a motorcycle versus vehicle accident about an hour or so ago. So Highway 138 eastbound, the westbound lanes there at last check are closed. So traffic moving through that area very slowly. So keep that in mind. And for many decades, really going back to the foundation of time, he has been the Commissioner of Dirt.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for the complimentary introduction. I appreciate that so much.
Well, you've aged well.
Yeah. Hello, I'm
and
Mike
And you
Winters.
Have aged.
What?
No, I just said that you've aged well, but you have aged. So
I have aged. Well, anyway, this is about your lawns, your gardens, your landscape. What do I do? How do I do it? When should I do it? Those kinds of questions. Should I prune now or wait? Or should I dig up the ground? Or is it okay to plant things? Yeah, I'm going to answer all those questions if you call 673-4464. Get you right on the air. You can ask your question, and I will give you detailed information and instructions, and you will be on your way to a beautiful yard and landscape. So there. That's the introductory. Well, this morning, I spotted a Christmas tree stand in the parking lot of a market out in Greene. And out of curiosity, of course, I walked over to see what the prices were. I was quite surprised when I saw $79.95 on each tree. They were nice-looking trees, you know, about 6 feet tall, 7 feet tall, maybe. And they were nice and bushy, but $80 is a little high for a Christmas tree. But and they weren't anything real special, but they were nice trees. And I'm thinking, boy, the market has surely increased. Well, when we used to sell Christmas trees at our nursery, they were more like in the $25 to $35 range for a cut tree because I knew where a lot of Christmas tree farms were, and I had been friends with the owners for a lot of years, and consequently, I got a good price, and so I passed that price on to my clients, my customers that would come in, and, you know, we always sold out. We never had any trees left over, and that was kind of a neat thing. So you got your hand on the button. What are you going to do?
Well, I was just going to point out that when you are selling at that much lower of a price, you had to walk uphill both ways in the snow to get the tree.
Yeah, but gas was only $39.9 too.
Jeez. Oh, my. Now yeah. You really are talking about age.
I know. That was, you know, a couple years ago, I guess. But, you know, I guess that's the market, $80 for a nice tree. And like I say, they were very nice-looking trees, like they're 6 to 7 feet tall and nice and bushy. And you know, I looked at all of them. There wasn't that many of them, probably about 20, 25 of them there. And you know, they were very nice, very green. When we owned Wintergreen Nursery, we sold live Christmas trees and cut Christmas trees. However, our trees, like I said, range from $20 to $40 maximum. Unless they wanted a special one, and we'd have to go out and locate a special one. They wanted something, you know, 12 or 14 feet tall and this kind of thing. So we'd go out and we tried to service our customers that way. And our live trees, of course, were in pots, and they were only around $50, $60, somewhere in that, for a very nice tree. And the prices of trees has increased big time as far as I'm concerned. And it'll be interesting to see how many of these sell at that price and how many trees will be left over. Even though I grew Christmas trees for 30 plus years, cut ones and potted ones, my wife bought a fake one. One that it sits up in the closet all year and then comes down this time of year, and she puts the lights on it, and it's really a pretty little tree, and no muss, no fuss, no hassle. And I don't mean to to disturb any of you folks out there that like to go cut your own Christmas tree. But, yeah, you know, after a while, we just kind of changed direction. I remember years ago when my kids were really small, we'd go up to Diamond Lake area and get a permit down there in Glide or Steamboat and go up there and walk through the forest. And it's pretty open up in that country. And you see a beautiful, beautiful tree and go ahead and cut it. And that's what we used to do. And the kids loved it. And we'd have lunch at the Diamond Lake Lodge. And the kids would play in the snow, and you know, it was quite an adventure, and it was like an all day shot. But I tried to get home before dark and make sure that we were safe and sound with our beautiful tree. But then, a few years ago, my wife bought this artificial tree, and it's beautiful. And in fact, she just took it out of the box a few days ago, and it's now decorated, and it's easy to decorate because the lights are already attached to the tree. You don't have to string any lights. They're already soldered to the fake Christmas tree. And then she puts a few ornaments on it, and bingo, it's done. And looks good. But I don't have any kids at home anymore, so what's the scoop? You know, it's a Christmas tree, and we're all right. Plus, I own some acreage out in the Olalla area, not quite Olalla, in between Winston and Olalla, 10 mile more like it. And I've got Christmas trees growing on my place too. I haven't cut too many of them because they're not quite large enough yet, you know, 3-4 feet maybe. I'll wait till I get up to, you know, 6-7 feet and supply my kids with their trees if they want, and maybe I'll cut a live one for myself. So, but you know, when I was a young boy, we would go shopping for Christmas trees. It was a lot of fun, you know. Me and my mom, boy, my dad never went. I don't know why, but my mom, she looked at every tree on the lot before buying. And I had a lot of fun. I just ran around through the trees, played hide and go seek with myself, and you know, I was like, you know, 7 or 8 years old, somewhere in there, and maybe 9. And it was quite an adventure. There were trees all over the place, and usually our tree cost around $10, maybe 15, and it would be 7, maybe 8 feet long, and my dad would cut a little bit off the bottom and before we put it in the stand, and then spend the next 2-3 hours decorating it. And back in the day, I was assigned to do tinsel. I hung a few ornaments, but I did tinsel as well. And of course, my mom corrected me because I would throw handfuls of tinsel just up on the tree indiscriminately. And I thought it was cool, but she didn't. So I had to learn how to do it. And hang them not quite individually, but small bunches, kind of strung out on the branches the way they should be. So there was it was pretty. It was pretty. Then we got into the nursery at the live Christmas trees, and we sold quite a few, not a lot, but they were popular, and we might sell 10, maybe 15 of them to people who wanted a live tree, and so they could plant it in their yard after Christmas and you know, talk about it and say that's our Christmas tree from 1999 or something like that, or 2022, whatever. But the live ones are a little more work because the weight of the tree in the container, and there's soil in the container. So it's like a two-person job to pick it up and move it around. So it's not like you just grab it and stick it in a stand and go after that. And then after Christmas, the rural work began planting the tree in your yard. I mean, if it was small enough and the pot was large enough, you could leave it on the deck or on the back porch or sit it in the yard and then drag it in next year too. But most folks go ahead and when they buy a live tree, they want to stick it in the ground after the holiday season is over. And that's where the real work begins. It's an event you'll always remember, you know. But when 10 years goes by and the tree is like 20 feet tall it brings back a lot of memories, and you can tell your children, your grandchildren, your next door neighbor, whoever, say, yeah, we had, that was our live Christmas tree back in 02 or whatever. So most of the live trees that we sold and grew were like Douglas fir, but we also sold Colorado blue spruce and grand fir because they were the most uniform and nicely spaced branched trees. So they made a great Christmas tree, and as long as you kept it damp, not overwatered in the house, but away from a heater, and kind of gave it a glass of water every day or every other day, depending on the size of the tree in the pot, they did good. Like I say, I had some, maybe two or three over the years, and that's they look good. It's, you know, people come in and say, wow, that's not a cut tree, that's a live tree. You're in a pot. What do you do? How do you do it? And just explain to them, you know, this is the process, and this is how that goes, and how this goes. But live trees do need water when they're in the house because it's like, you know, 70 degrees or maybe even a little bit warmer. But not much. You don't want to, the combination of the warm house and water kind of wakes up the tree a little bit, and they go, wow, is it spring in here already? And you don't want to wake them up too much. You want to keep them semi-dormant so that when you do stick them outside, in case we get a heavy freeze or something, there's not new growth sticking out the ends of the branches. So. But like I say, protect them when you put them outside from any severe cold weather, and they'll do good. And then you can give them some, like, you know, a shelter for a week or so, like in the garage if it gets really super cold. Put them in the garage or a shed, or keep them next to the house where there's a little bit more heat and it's a little more protected from any heavy frost. And in the meantime, you can start digging the planting hole. You never thought we'd get around to that one, right? So after the temperature stays above, 30 degrees or so, 35, you can go ahead with the planting. You may only do this once, but you'll always remember the Christmas that you had a live tree. And I've gone over planting techniques, 100, maybe 200 times on this radio show over the last 20 years, you know, how to plant, when to plant, and how large the hole is, and what kind of soil you put in. But it needs repetition because some folks forget, and or they get a little bit lazy and don't want to dig the hole as large as it should be, those kind of things. But the other, and I'll switch here to another popular Christmas plant, is the poinsettia. Those are those little small flower-like with red leaves, and they're in every store, and you can't miss them with their bright red leaves. That's something, and they make a great show. And it's not an outdoor plant in our climate unless it's protected, but it makes a great indoor plant year round if you repot it into a bigger pot and in the right soil. And it'll grow really well. And if you put it by the window, it gets sufficient light to when the spring comes, so that the leaves will turn green again. Then some of them may not turn all the way green. They might be specks of red within the leaves, but they grow. And then as the length of day shortens and it's darker quicker, and if you quit watering them on a regular basis, the leaves will begin to turn red. And they grow outdoors in mild climates, or like a weed, like in Mexico, Southern California, or anywhere that doesn't get a freeze in the winter. I went to Guatemala, quite a few trips down to Guatemala over the years. And it was amazing when we'd stop along the roadside there to a restaurant or a gas station or whatever up in the mountains. I'd walk around for a while, especially if the whole crew was in there eating. I'd finish real quick just to walk around, look at the plants that were surrounding the place, and I saw lots of wild poinsettias growing like weeds. They were huge, you know, they were beautiful, but they only in Guatemala do they grow like that. Maybe in Mexico too, I'm sure. But in Oregon, they make a nice potted plant for your patio or deck, and they'll grow well in the sun. But if you got them in the sun, full sun, you want to keep them damp. And you can prune them after they bloom into a shorter, well-branched plant. And then the following year, there's more branches because their growth in the spring, more leaves, and consequently what you've created is a shorter but wider, prettier plant that you can bring in the house again for the winter. So that's how that goes. You don't want to stick it in the ground, though. Just keep it in a pot. That way you can control that. So anyway, I once read to force new blooms on a poinsettia, that you had to put the plant in a dark place, you know, to get the leaves to turn red, and you put it in a dark place for a short time. Well, years ago, I brought one home for my wife, and then I put it in a closet in the kids' bedroom, wanting the leaves to, they were kind of turning red, but the article that I read said that if they're in the dark, the leaves really turn red quickly. Well, that was good. So for some reason, though, I forgot about my poinsettia, and when it dawned on me, I quickly went to the closet, and I found my poinsettia, but it didn't look like, it's supposed to. it kind of looked like, oh my gosh, what happened here? And it was brown. The leaves are crinkled. It was dead. And so I never did that again. I just let it go. But when I'm getting back to trees now, when we owned the nursery, the potted live trees were popular, and we actually sold, like I say, quite a few. And like I said, the live ones were a little more work because of the weight of the tree and the container. And after Christmas, that's when the real work began, planting that tree in your yard. And it's an event, though. You'll never forget it. You'll always remember it. And like I say, after 10 years, you got a 20-foot tree in there, and you can talk about, hey, remember the time we did that? Remember the time we did this? And, then the kids all get excited again, and they're ready to go. And, we'll be back. We got a break.
We do.
Okay.
All right, back with more in a moment. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 673-4464. 424 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 426. The afternoon report coming up at 5 with Douglas County's news team. He's Commissioner of Dirt. You got a yard, lawn, and garden question. 673-4464 is the number to call. I keep looking at things in the yard. It's been a kind of a crazy week or so. And for instance, a lot of leaves have fallen. There's still some leaves to come down. So I haven't really raked at all yet, including on the back porch where I need to get some of the leaves off there so it's not so slick, and on the deck, et cetera. And in front, it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, I know. I've been to your yard on several occasions to help you clean it up, if you will.
Well, right, but I mean, I'm talking about right now, currently.
You haven't called, so I haven't come over.
I see. This time of year, though, anytime, like actually on Sunday, I think it was, I thought about, I was out doing some things in the afternoon here and running some errands. And I thought, okay, I've got time. I noticed people working in their yards. It's like, I'll go get it done. But by the time I got home, the sun was no longer in the yard. And otherwise it was really cold. And I said, forget it.
Yeah, I understand that process, honestly. A lot of people have the same, they identify with the cold weather that way.
I just did not want to be in it. I was okay with being in it if it was sunny. That I could deal with.
Well, yeah. Don't you have a blower?
Have a what?
A blower.
No.
Well, that's the quick and easy way of doing it, you know.
What's not that big a yard?
I know, but still, that tree that hangs over your house has a lot of leaves, and you could get on a ladder and blow them out of the gutter, too.
I can't get on a ladder. I've got lawyers that tell me I can't do that. Seriously. Most of the leaves are in back, and then I've still got to get to them to the front.
Gosh.
And there, anyway.
Oh, you poor man, you. I feel so sorry.
Life
for you.
Is rough.
I feel so bad.
No, you don't.
Oh. I was just trying to be cheerful.
You were, you're just sounding like a politician again.
What? No, I wouldn't. I was never a politician. I was an elected official.
Okay, yeah. That's a whole other show.
That's why some people didn't like me, because I spoke very straight to the issue at hand. How's that?
All right. Well, let's continue with your issue at hand.
Okay. You don't want to talk politics, huh?
No, we've got plenty of other programming for that. You'll be just fine. Just stick to your, stay in your lane.
Oh, anyway, I'm talking about Christmas trees, live ones, cut ones, and poinsettias, and that kind of thing. You can really jazz up your color of your living room and decorate your tree with a half a dozen poinsettias planted around the base of it. Of course, that would interfere with the presents, and any young children who want to get at the presents might knock the poinsettias over or break a stem or two. So, you know, if your children are, you know, over 15 years old, I think they're safe. You could safely do that, and they might enjoy it as well. So Christmas trees are just, they're really neat. I mean, all my life, going out, like I say, with my mom, picking out a tree. My dad never seemed to want to do that. I don't know why. Maybe, and I noticed over the years when we sold, like I say, cut trees and potted trees, and it was most of the time on the cut trees, it was the wife's decision about which tree that they were going to take or which tree they wanted to look at, and I'd pull it out and spin it around and let them look at it all sides, and the men said, yeah, that's good. The husbands, you know, yeah, it looks good. And I had a feeling that they really didn't care. Just pick up the stinking tree and put it on the top of the car and let's get out of here.
On the top of the car?
People roped them down,
no,
you know.
No, you don't want it. That's not good on your paint.
I know, but I tied them up with, you know, some string and some twine, and so they were a tight bundle, and you just stick them up there. They don't hurt anything.
Back when we used to do that, I had a pickup for a number of years. I had about three pickups and possibly four. And, you know, you would have it in the bed, and I was never very good at tying things down, so I had to be careful there that my tree didn't go airborne somewhere near Sutherland.
Yeah, you know, you got to be careful of that. That's never happened to me, but I had things tied down or tarped, put a tarp over the top.
See, I'm not very good at that either.
Well, you just lay the tarp down over the tree and put.
And then the tarp blows into traffic.
No. You've got some bricks that you lay on the tarp to hold it down. Gosh.
I would try using children for that, but I don't think you can do that anymore.
Well, if they lay down and are not seen.
But I don't think you're supposed to have kids at the back of vehicles anymore.
If they're not seen and they're laying flat in the bed of the pickup, they're okay. Just don't wave to wave to any policeman as you go by.
Do not say. The guy on the radio said it was okay, officer.
Yeah, it's okay. Anyway, yard maintenance, you know, you got leaves after you planted your tree out in that yard. You got leaves and they're brown and of course no blooms. And it was only when I had that poinsettia in the closet for over 2 weeks, it died a dark death. And I never never repeated that mistake because me and Poinsettias just don't get along. But like I say, down in Guatemala, Mexico, those places, even in San Diego, I guess, they grow like weeds. I mean, they just grow and they make people make hedges out of them and the whole thing. So my solution nowadays is if I buy any, my wife is the caretaker of them. She knows exactly what to do, and that works real well. And and if you like want to keep it year round, you keep it as an indoor plant by a sunny window, and don't let it dry out. Water it, but water it sparingly. It doesn't need to live in a swamp, and it's okay. So gets me to the point where this weather we've been having is been so nice. Really, it has been nice. It's only rained a few days, 3-4 days maybe, since the rainy season started. So you can, this fall is a good time to be planting things. So don't hesitate on buying and planting shrubs and trees. It's a win-win for the tree and for your yard.
Did you hear the November rain data on the radio today?
I don't recall that I did.
So National Weather Service said for the Roseburg Regional Airport in November, we got 7.77 inches of rain. That is 3.05 inches above normal, which is 4.72 inches.
Where do they take the official measurement?
That's at the Roseburg Regional Airport.
Always.
Yes. Yeah. And, I mean, they record it from other spotters and people that are unofficial weather gatherers and all that. Now, the record was 1998. How much rain do you think we got in November of 98?
12 inches.
You're very close. 11, almost 11 and a half, 11.47.
Yeah, I remember things like that. I don't remember your name, but I remember things like how many inches of rain we got.
Well, and for the year, we are basically 5 inches above normal right now.
Yeah, and I question that, but
of course you do.
Of course I do, but we've had this fog roll in here almost every day, and somehow it keeps the rain out. I don't know.
And the record amount of rain for an entire year in Roseburg. What year?
Jeez, 19.
You were alive.
1964.
1950, actually.
1950?
41.63 inches of rain by the end of November.
Really?
Yep.
Gosh. Was there any flooding, dangerous flooding at that time, or do you know?
That I don't know. I was nowhere near being alive.
Oh. That might have been a good place for you.
I was well over a decade from being alive at that point. Weather data and more information, and hopefully your questions as well at 673-4464. When we come back on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon 4:30, 8:22 minutes away from 5 o'clock. The afternoon report with Douglas County's news team. You can still get a question in at 673-4464 with Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt.
He named me that. I did not pick out that name for myself, but Mr. Kyle here thought that was cute, and so I've been stuck with it now for 20-some-odd years.
And originally, that was just going to be like just a one-time thing.
Yeah, I know.
And it obviously stuck.
I know. I don't understand that. Anyway, I've been talking about Christmas trees, live ones, cut ones, those that are in a pot. And, if you want a potted tree, like I say, they're a little heavier, a little more bulky, and you have to take care of them a little bit. But, you know, once they're planted in the ground, they do really well. And don't disappear on me now. He's walking out the door, and I don't know how to run all these buttons, so don't call until he comes back in. But at any rate, I want you to have success with a potted tree. They're pretty. They're nice, they're cumbersome, but they look good. And it's something that your children or grandchildren can enjoy The fact that you have a live one and you, and have them come over and help you pot it, I mean plant it, have them give them a little shovel and say, why don't you dig a hole here, honey? Oh, 2 feet deep and 3 feet wide is all we need, okay? And they'll say, sure, Grandpa, yeah, all right. Because your kids will say, forget it, I gotta go to school, we'll see you later. But then anyway, the poinsettia stuff, it's always, you know, they're like a really hot selling item this time of year because they are so magnificent. They're just so bright, they're so colorful, and so in trying to save some and get some leaves to turn, I was talking about putting one of my poinsettias in the closet, and like I said, I forgot it, and it died a dark death, and I've never repeated that mistake because my wife won't let me. She says, leave it alone, I'll take care of it. So she takes care of any of those poinsettias and any of the indoor plants that we have. The outside guy. I have to be the outside guy because she takes care of the indoor plants very, very well, and it works real well for us. And you know, we can grow them year round, and they look good. So as nice as the weather has been this fall, and it has been nice, don't hesitate on buying and planting, you know, some shrubs and trees for your yard and sprucing up your landscape. And as I've said before in the past, the prices this time of year are better, less expensive, and you can make deals because a lot of the nurseries, they've already ordered their spring shipments and they need room to put them. And, you know, you never sell out of everything, but you can at least move some of your inventory to make space for the new stuff that will be coming in. And this is the time to go to a nursery and shop around and see what you got, see what they have. They have a few, you know, a few trees here and there and a few shrubs here and there, and I don't know. We used to put some of those on half price just to move them out, and that was the time of year when we didn't have as many customers coming in because it was cold, it was rainy, or even we had snow from time to time. But you know, it's they'll survive out in the cold, out in the wilderness, unless you buy an indoor plant and try to put it out like a poinsettia. But survival is almost guaranteed. And this time of year, there's no watering necessary. And if our current weather pattern continues, the plants won't need any water, oh gosh, until April, maybe May. It just depends on how the spring rains hit us. If it rains all the way through January and most of February, you know, that ground is saturated. That ground, it doesn't need any additional water, so just don't sock it to your brand new plants that you've put in the early spring or late fall, and don't fertilize anything that's newly planted now until like maybe March or April, and then do it sparingly and continue to fertilize during the growing season sparingly, like maybe once a month or once every 6 weeks. You if it's granular, you sprinkle a tablespoon around the base of the tree. Don't hit the base, just keep it out a couple inches from the base of the tree, and then any normal watering will begin to dissolve the granular fertilizer, and eventually works down into the root systems. And that's if you want a quick response, there are liquid fertilizers that you mix up like two big tablespoons to a gallon of water, and then you pour it all around the base of the tree, and it soaks right down into the root system, and there's almost an instant response within days if you had a, I don't know, a rhododendron or some other shrub out there that was looking a little weak, you know, not as green as it should be, or you know, just a couple of little dead leaves here and there. You can tell it needs some food, and when you put on this liquid fertilizer and you put it on there, say maybe once a week for 3 weeks, you'll see a real dramatic difference. Those leaves that were kind of a light green all of a sudden come back strong, and it's starting to push new growth. And And usually that happens on newly planted plants because their root system is not developed to the point where they've reached out into native ground and gathered the nutrition from the native ground and fed it up into the tree or the shrub. So that's that's the kind of thing you can do now. And so, like I say, we've had really a nice fall. So don't hesitate on buying and planting a few of these things, and you'll be glad you did in the spring, because then you don't have to do anything in the spring except give them a little bit of fertilizer or something like that. And of course, the prices are better at this time of year than they are in the spring. And every year, like any other industry, the nursery industry, the wholesale grower end of the nursery industry has to jack prices up, because fertilizer prices are up, spray prices are up, labor prices are up. So consequently, they've got to jack up the price of the tree or the shrub. And then you buy it as a retailer or a landscape contractor, and you have to add something to that. And you go, wow, gee whiz, this is how much the tree is, or this is how much that shrub is. And most people, if it's not exorbitant price increase, will go along and buy the tree or the landscape job that goes with the tree. But it's like any other industry in business. You walk into Freddy's and you go, wow, man, what happened to the price of the pinto beans? They were only $1 last month, and now they're $2. What's going on? Same thing going on. And it's all ag related, actually. So the current weather pattern that we have, the plants are going to, like I say, not need any water until probably April or maybe even May. Just don't over-fertilize and expect miracles until it, really the ground warms up and the root systems warm up, and then you're going to see the delayed growth. And I remind listeners that some nurseries, like I say, are getting their bare root plants in now, from now till, oh gosh, January, maybe even February. And bare root means they're not in a pot. They're just, you can pick up a tree with one hand. I mean, they're light, and they're like half price of a potted tree. So if you wanted a maple tree in your yard that's 8 or 10 feet tall, instead of paying $75 for it, you're paying $35 or $40 maybe. And you can stick it in the back of your pickup truck or you carry it around. It's easy to do. And that's the bare root season. And it lasts for, January, February, and even until about the end of March. And then and whatever's left that you haven't sold in bare root tree season, you start to pop them up and they won't be ready for sale for 2 to 3 months because they've got to root into that new surrounding. So, and of course, this time of year, if you're potting anything up and it's an outdoor plant, you're not going to need any water, like I say, until April or May probably. And again, don't fertilize any newly planted shrubs now until they've been in the ground a month or maybe two, and then they're connected. They're rooted in. The root ball has pushed out new roots, and you're ready to go. And bare roots, and mostly bare root fruit trees are probably the biggest seller that we had over the years at our nursery. Because fruit trees are good. I mean, that's food for the table, but there's a little bit more work for fruit trees than are for shade trees or just flowering trees, and sometimes they need a little bit of spraying. And of course, every year once they get growing, they need a little bit of pruning to. And when you prune the tree, a fruit tree, for instance, and I've said this 100 times in the past, is you're pruning the new growth and down to. Oh, maybe if it's a foot of new growth, you're pruning 8 inches off of that, and you're forming a new bearing extension of the bearing branch. And what that does, that root system goes up, and there's extra energy that goes into the branches that you left, and usually that means a better fruit production period that year too, and not only better, but more. If you had a 25 apples the 1 year, and then you pruned it properly, fertilized it properly, the next year you get, you know, maybe 35 or 40 apples or peaches or pears or plums, whatever you're after. You got a break?
We do.
Okay, I will be back, hopefully.
All right, back with more in a moment. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 673-4464, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240, KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Heading home, it is a balmy. How warm do you think it is right now?
37.
You are absolutely correct. 37 degrees in the Umpqua Valley. Our temperatures only ranged between about 34 and 38 all day.
I know.
It's been a cool day. It's gloomy. It's depressing.
No, it isn't. It's fun. I've been talking about bare root trees, and one thing I left out.
Your definition of fun.
I know.
I don't know.
One thing I left out is if when you take these bare root trees home and you're not ready to plant, you know, put them in the backyard, and you can cover the roots with sawdust or bark mulch. And if you don't have either one of those, you can put a blanket over the root systems and then wet water the blanket real good so it's nice and wet. And if it does freeze and or it does snow or whatever, those root systems won't die. They are protected. Even that little bit of wet blanket over the top of them will protect them because the freezing cold can't get in there and surround the root system. So that's one thing to remember. If you don't have, you don't want to sacrifice a blanket, like I say, some sawdust or bark, or even like Kyle was talking about earlier, he's all got all these leaves in his yard he got to get rid of. Even putting leaves over the top of those root systems will help protect them from any super frost. And then you can keep them that way for 2 or 3 months, for crying out loud. And that gives you plenty of time to figure out where they're going to grow best and what kind of soil you need and how long it's going to take you to put them in and all that kind of stuff. So think of a tree like 10 foot tall, 12 foot tall, that normally when it's a potted tree can cost you $75 to $100 easily or more. Depends on the type of the tree. But if you want a small home orchard with fruit trees, and they can be purchased for, say, $15 to maybe $25 for a four-way apple or something like that. But depending, you know, on the size and the type of the tree, they will be in that range. Well, they were when we were in business. I don't know. I didn't shop other nurseries just to see what their pricing was. I priced mine fairly so so people would buy them and I would make a little bit of money at the same time. You know, that's kind of a cool thing to do. But, and like I say, it all depends on the size of the tree and the type it is. You know, fruit trees will be either dwarfed or semi-dwarf. A dwarf tree is not going to get very, very tall, but it will produce fruit. Semi-dwarfs will get, you know, 12, 15 feet is the maximum that you would want them. And after that, you know, they're non-productive almost. And in this cold weather, you can transport them from home or to home with no damage to the roots. Just put them in the truck, put them in the back seat, and take them home. And like I say, cover the roots and protect them from any hard frost for, you know, a month or two, depends on. And then you can decide where to plant them. You know, I've planted bare root trees and shrubs as late as May, and they have survived. The secret, like I say, is to keep the roots damp and prune the branches by maybe 20 to 30%. When you do plant, soak the roots with a root stimulant at least twice a month, and the energy the plant that will energize the plant to grow very vigorously, and you don't have to worry about it, you know, just, well, what's wrong with that thing? And it don't have any leaves on it, huh? But what made me a believer in vitamin B1 for root systems is one day I went to the dump when it was called the dump, you know, before it was a landfill or whatever it is now. And you usually backed up to a big old log and you dumped your trash into the gully. Well, one day in May, I backed up into there to unload. I was doing some landscaping job, and I had a truck full of stuff. And I spotted a bare root tree that someone had just thrown away into the dump, and it had a few leaves on it, and was laying in the sun with the roots exposed. And I thought, what in the world is that? So I walked down into the dump and I rescued that tree. I took it home and I planted it, and I soaked it with my vitamin B1 root stimulant. And within a month, that tree was fully leafed out and growing well.
You know, they wouldn't let you walk down and grab stuff out of there now.
Oh, I know, but that was in the olden days.
Of course, we don't have gullies now, so we have containers.
Oh, containers! That's right. I can't. but. This tree turned out to be a flowering cherry tree. I think it was a Kwanzaa flowering cherry with large, full pink blossoms. And from then on, every tree or shrub we planted in landscape projects always lived and grew well because of the vitamin B1, and we always wanted to have some color in those trees. And so there were flowering plums, flowering cherries, and that the flowering plum seems to be like the favorite tree here in Douglas County because they're everywhere. There must be thousands of them in just within the city limits. But so that's have a Merry Christmas, and this will be my last show until January because I have some surgery issues to take care of during the month of December. So Kyle will play some old tapes or something like that. And
tapes.
And I'll be back. Tapes, computer tapes, whatever they're called. But I'll be back in January with fresh sew.
Well, so. And actually as well, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are Wednesdays. Oh, no, wait. No, they're not. They're Tuesdays. Well, oh. So Christmas and New Year's are on Wednesday, so that would change things anyway because there'll be holidays.
Yeah. So happy holidays to all y'all. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
All right. Back soon. The podcast up shortly at 541radio.com. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show Wednesday afternoons at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.